You're listening to the Intuitive Strength Podcast, and I'm your host, Brie Ogletree. I'm an online fitness coach teaching women how to use strength training and nutrition to build a body they love, but I'm also a strong believer in holistic wellness, which includes all aspects of your life. While this podcast is heavily focused on fitness and nutrition, we'll also dive into other topics that attribute to total wellness to include mental health, financial health, relationships, and stress management, to name a few. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the episode.
Hello, and welcome back to the Intuitive Strength Show. If you're new here, welcome. My name is Brie Ogletree. I'm an online fitness coach teaching women how to use strength training in order to achieve their body goals long term and then go off and be amazing in all other aspects of their life. I'm excited about this week's episode because I have a guest on the podcast. Her name is Nipa Desai. She is a licensed professional counselor in Pennsylvania, and she is also one of my best friends of many years. She agreed to come on the podcast and have a discussion around mindfulness. And I actually didn't know that May was Mental Health Awareness. I was not aware of that. And so we had our little discussion on the podcast. But it is fitting for the theme for the month. So I'm excited to share with you and share our conversation around mindfulness, because I think it's something that we can start using right away. It's a tool we can be using right away in our lives in order to live a more value-based and more present life and a more fulfilling life. I truly believe that mental health is part of your holistic wellness, right? And I'm doing my best to bring on other professionals, other people with different areas of expertise in that holistic wellness umbrella, so that we are saying more than just physical health on this podcast. So I'm so excited to share Nipa Desai with you. I've known her for many years, and she's very good at what she does. And a little bit about her: her goal as a licensed professional counselor is to help you be the best version of you through managing your emotions and living a values-driven life. She is a licensed professional counselor who practices a holistic, strengths-based, and eclectic approach to mental health. She utilizes treatment modalities including acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT, cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, mindfulness, which we talk about on the podcast, and a dialectical behavioral therapy, individualizing interventions based on individual and cultural backgrounds. So Nipa Desai is a wealth of knowledge around mental health. She's also an amazing best friend, and I'm excited to share this conversation with you. So let's get into it. All right. I am here with Nipa Desai. Thank you so much for joining me on the Intuitive Strength Podcast.
Thank you for having me today.
Yeah. So before we get started, just let everybody know who you are, what you do, where you're from, and then we'll get into our topic for today.
Awesome. Well, hello, everybody. My name's Nipa Desai. I am a therapist, a licensed professional counselor. I just started a private practice called Align Mind Therapy Services. Yay. Thank you. So I provide telehealth services, all virtual counseling. I work with trauma, psychosis, anxiety, depression, growth, life stressors, you name it. So really exciting to dive into that and, keep on my own journey as well. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So very exciting to be on this podcast.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. You're the one who pointed out that May was Mental Health Awareness Month. I probably should have known that, but I've been wanting to have like a mental health professional come on the podcast, because I mainly talk about like physical health, strength training, nutrition, things on this podcast, but mental health and wellness, wellness is a huge part of like your overall and holistic wellness. So I thought it was very important to have someone like you come on the podcast and share that aspect of wellness with us. You forgot to add to your credentials that you're also one of my best friends.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, we will add that to her list of credentials. She's my best friend of how many years now? I don't even know anymore.
Oh gosh, over a decade.
Yes. Yes. So it's been a minute. We've been through a lot together.
Oh yeah.
And let me tell you, having a mental health professional as your best friend is like the prize of all prizes, honestly. Like, always providing me, like, not therapizing me, but just, you know, providing a lot of insight to things that I go through mentally. So I appreciate you for that.
Oh, thank you. So,
yeah, if you can, get yourself a mental health professional best friend. All right. So today we're really just going to have a discussion around mindfulness. Would you say mindfulness is kind of like a tool that we can use to help us navigate, you know, a lot of things, a lot of situations in life that could cause stress, anxiety, depression, things like that, some very serious conditions that could really affect our quality of life? Would you say that that's kind of what mindfulness is? And if you want to elaborate and expand on mindfulness, you can definitely do that as well. So,
yeah, absolutely. Mindfulness is definitely a tool. It's more than a tool, I think. I think it's just a practice that's important to incorporate into everyday life. You know, it doesn't have to be something you go to therapy for, but you can learn it in any way. You know, I think mindfulness is something that it's just, there's three parts to mindfulness. It's about being present, intentional, and non-judgmental, whatever that might look like for you. So, you know, we often compare mindfulness and meditation. Sometimes, you know, they can be synonymous. Sometimes they might not be. But truly is, what are you doing where you can be present, where you can be intentional, non-judgmental, even if it's uncomfortable? And I think that's one of the biggest things, or, you know, that can be scary, is mindfulness doesn't always feel good. Being present doesn't always feel good. And, you know, I think about that, you know, if I'm working out, for example, and, you know, I might be saying, I don't like this. I don't want to do this. I want to stop. It's the same thing, but I'm being present and being intentional. I might be being judgmental, but I'm trying, right? And I think that's kind of the key, is we're not going to be present 100% of the time, but we can try. We can maybe try for a few seconds, a few minutes, and build up that tool, that strength.
Okay. So would you say that mindfulness is like, getting, like, helping you get the most out of whatever? So say you have, let's just take fitness for an example. Say you have a fitness goal, right? Being present in the process of, so like your example of working out, like, you may not enjoy, you know, doing your reps or whatever, but being able to be present in that moment. And you said intention too. So, I don't want to say like be intentional, but like be purposeful in like how you're moving through your workout, right? Will help you get more out of, you know, that situation and help you kind of get closer to your goals. Would you say that?
Absolutely.
Do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it all, you know, that intention, that purpose, it ties into our values. If we don't know what we value, what our goals are, how can we be mindful of something, right?
Yeah.
How can we be intentional? So part of it is also identifying your values and seeing where do I want to go in my life, right? Where do I want to be, even in the next moment, even in this moment? That's how we can be mindful. That's how we can be intentional.
Okay. So the first step to like using mindfulness would be trying to like figure out where you're trying to get to, or like what your aim or your goal is, right? Would you say that it's like step one? Like what's...
I wouldn't say necessarily step one. I would say, okay, you know, maybe I think it's a different process for everyone. Let me say that. For some folks, it's really identifying what step one is. Maybe another step one or part of the process is just allowing ourselves to be in the moment.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the hardest things as human beings. And it's kind of like, that's what we want to try to get to, right? That's kind of the gold we've all been looking for, is how can I just be? We have all these thoughts and feelings and sensations that we experience every moment. Your neurons are firing off and there's so many thoughts. I mean, how many times you just sit there and you think why did I just have this thought? Where did it come from? Right? Something so ridiculous. But that's just our neurons firing off. That's all it is. But we give certain value, we give weight to certain thoughts, certain feelings, sensations.
Okay.
And it's hard to separate ourselves from them. So in that sense, you know, it's how can I just be? How can I recognize those things? Right. Even in terms of fitness, I think about, okay, well, maybe I'm noticing I'm feeling tired. I don't want to do this. I'm noticing a lot of judgment. How do I just notice it without taking it on?
Okay. So it's not necessary. Mindfulness is not necessarily about getting to a certain goal, which
might not be. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that point. I'm always like thinking about, you know, what's the process? What's the step-by-step? But you're right. Mindfulness is not always about, you know, what the end game is or like where you're trying to get to. And I have to remind myself of that too. So it can be used to just process the the moment that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say it's like that?
Yeah. Or how about just noticing it?
Yeah. And what's the value in doing that?
What that leads to is just this ability to notice things, right? Not react. We're constantly reacting to things. We're constantly trying to get somewhere. The future is beyond us. Right? We are creating that. So if we are able to just be present, if we're able to be mindful, does that help us? I want to say intentional again. Does that help us be a little bit more purposeful in the life that we want to live versus reacting on the things that are showing up for us?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So so I was listening to, you know, the play Rent or the musical Rent.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to that. I'm like a nerd when it comes to that musical, but there's a song in there that the line is no day but today, or like it was all about like you only have the present moment. Like that's all you have, right? The past is behind you, like it's mm-hmm. already done. And then the future, while you will influence the future by your present actions, all you have is the present. All you are right now is what you are right now. Like you're in the present moment. So yeah. So being able to, I think, fully experience the present moment through mindfulness is very valuable because I feel like you can, you just live a more fulfilling life, right? You're just like enjoying, regardless of what, even if it is like a negative situation, I guess, like it allows you, like you're saying, to process your emotions and process and not be so reactive to everything. Mm-hmm. Which personally for me, I feel like I'm a very emotional person. So like if something happens to me, like I am quick to react, but I'm learning as I get older that it's better to take a step back and really, as things are happening, really try to understand, okay, what is this? You know, it may not mean anything, but like just giving myself that space to really, like I said, process what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, as you know, I'm also a very emotional person. And so, you know, I think about where like a lot of my thoughts and feelings might lead me. If it's more maybe in the past, it's more kind of on that depression end of the spectrum. If it's more so about the future, it's more on the anxiety end of the spectrum, right? And we all experience it. I think it's also maybe a lack of education, especially in our school systems too, is that we don't learn about emotions, how to identify them, you know, how to sit with them. So maybe mindfulness is something that can help us do that, right? We also have to check in with ourselves and think about what have we been taught about thoughts, about feelings.
Yeah.
And I think anxiety especially is one of the hardest things because, I mean, you know, just from personal experience too, there's all these physiological reactions that happen, right? So whether it's your hands shaking, some people experience nausea, blurry vision, so many different things, your heart racing. Mindfulness can be a grounding technique too, just to help with some of those physical symptoms.
Yeah. So if you, 'cause obviously you're a professional, and then I'm also like your best friend of a million years. So you have obviously like instilled some of these practices in me, right? But what do you say to someone who like, what could be helpful to someone who is maybe just starting to understand what mindfulness is and how they can use it as a tool for things like depression or anxiety, or just, again, living a more fulfilling life? Like where would they start?
I always say the go-to is use your five senses, engage your five senses. So anything you have in front of you, use that. You can even just use your clothes, the texture of them. Right. I mean, you might not want to taste your clothes. That's totally fine. But, you know, as many of the senses you can engage.
Yeah.
And just notice, right? We often want to say, oh, I don't like this. I like this. We don't just use descriptive words, right? Like I notice that it's soft. I notice there's lines. Might notice how it smells. And I think that's the first step to really allowing ourselves to just be present. To focus on that one thing. Because the thing is that when we're focused on one thing, you're not noticing all the other thoughts and feelings and sensations and things around you that's happening. You can do it with music. You can do it with food. I think, you know, I've done it with exercise as well, and it's definitely helpful. And, you know, I'm the first to say, I'm not going to the gym. I'll stay in the house. And you know, that's allowing myself to be okay with that. But one thing that you've taught me is also just being kind to yourself. You know, I think that's mindfulness too, is noticing what your body needs.
Yes, absolutely. How about with emotion? So you mentioned like, yes, using the five senses, right? So that, would you say that's the grounding technique? Or, okay, so if they're experiencing a strong emotion, then they go right to those five senses and start like tapping into that to help kind of regulate what's going on.
Yeah. So one thing that I love to use for any sort of grounding is an orange. An orange is so complex. Any kind of orange, right? There's all the different smells, the textures, the taste just on the peel. And as you're intentionally slowly peeling the orange, there's so much more to experience. Another thing about just that, the essential oils that come out of an orange, those are grounding too. They allow you to be more mindful, right? You're unintentionally smelling it, but you're drawn into it.
Cool. I'll have to try that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's try it, see how it feels when you're not experiencing any sort of intense emotions. You know, that's, you can really do it with anything. Another thing I like to use is ice. Because especially when you're feeling anxious, your body temperature rises, your blood pressure rises. Put ice on your chest, put it on your forehead, just hold a piece of ice and watch it melt. And it helps regulate your nervous system. But also it helps with the anxiety piece of it, the emotional impact it has on your body.
Yeah. I've definitely used ice before, and it does work. it's kind of like, it's almost like a little shock to the system, right? Like, because you're having a reaction to something, it's like, whoa, okay. Like, this is cold. This is wet. Yeah. You just kind of go through like all of those, like you said, the senses.
And it does. And you're not thinking about all those future thoughts, right? They're still happening. You're just not focused on them because now you're focused on this thing that's cold and wet and maybe uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So once they do like the grounding, I think my next question is like thoughts and meaning, like, especially in a, like an intense situation, like, so you've done like this grounding technique to bring you back to, you know, the present moment, and you don't have like these intense thoughts, or you've taken kind of away from the intense thoughts. What's the next thing to do from there? Is it to question the thoughts? Is it to, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I guess like, I'm always like, what's step one? What's step two? What's step three? And I know it's not like that. But like, how do we go about processing those emotions once we're past that grounding mindfulness technique?
So here's the thing. With thoughts, we give them a lot of meaning, but they're just thoughts. Keep that in mind. right? Yeah. Thoughts are just thoughts. Feelings are just feelings. The meaning that you give them is the meaning that they feel like, essentially, if that makes sense, right? They feel intense because we're putting this intense meaning to it. So think about this. Have you ever thought about like a blue gorilla wearing a pink tutu?
I have now.
And now you might not be able to get that image out of your head.
No, definitely not.
But that's just a thought. What's the meaning behind it?
Yeah. So yeah, your thoughts are what the meaning of the thought is, what you give it.
Yes.
Okay. So how, if you have someone who is struggling with their thoughts, or like a specific thought, for example, and putting a lot of meaning behind that thought, what is your recommendation to them?
So that's a complex question.
Yeah.
You know, I think it depends on what the thought is, what purpose it serves. We want to explore, you know, what it is providing us, right? Is it something that is beneficial to us? Is it in line with our values? Is it harmful? So if you think about it, it's, you know, I like to think about having almost like a bookshelf of thoughts in our brains, right? We can put every single thought on there. You get to choose what you want to take off of that bookshelf and hold it, right? Is it weighing you down? So the thing is that in terms of processing, maybe it's something like we write it down, we talk about it, but do we have to place meaning on it, or can it just be a thought that we can hold space for? How heavy do we really want it to be?
Mm. Yeah.
To say, I notice this.
Right.
And it's a part of me, right? Okay. It's a thought that I had. It's a part of me. Now, do I want to react on it, or do I want to live out my values? Do I want to be present and do something that's actually meaningful to me?
Mm. Okay. So you get to decide, okay, is this going to control, you know, the rest of the decisions that I make, or am I going to let this go and do something else?
Because if we allow that thought to take control of us, then it's pulling us away from the life we want to live, from that fulfilling life, right? And then we're also not being present, because now we're focused on, let's say, the past or the future, depending on what that thought is.
Yeah.
We focus so much on like the content of a thought versus like the process of what happens for us.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Yeah. I think as I've in my 20s, I feel like I struggled with this a lot. Like I would have a thought and I would think it meant something, like it meant I was like either the worst person in the world, or like it meant something about who I was as a person, right? And I'm learning like to let things like that go. Like if I have something, a thought that I'm like, yo, this is crazy, or like, I don't know, just like some outlandish thing that comes through my mind, or even something about myself, right? So like that self-talk that you have about any aspect of your life, especially negative, right? Negative self-talk, just things that pop into your head. I used to struggle a lot with letting those things go, right? But I'm learning that as if I allow it to, like if I allow it to come through and I'm like, okay, I look for evidence. Like, is this actually true?
Yeah. Like, is this that's a great approach.
Yeah. Like, is this thought that you just had about yourself actual fact? And if you believe, for whatever reason, if I believe it is, I'm like, okay, where's the evidence? Like, show me the evidence. Show me the evidence in your life, in like the physical world.
Like, exactly.
How this is true. And a lot of times I can't find it. So I'm just like, okay, then it's obviously not, it's just a thought. I can let it go. It's not valid. It's not true. It was just a passing thought that I was feeling for whatever reason.
Yeah. So, and you know, I even like to ask myself, can I do anything about this right now in this moment?
Yeah.
More often than not, I can't.
Yeah. 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 That's also true. Also, like thoughts about, I don't know if it's like thought. Yeah, it is thoughts, but like about like what you think other people are thinking about you. Mm-hmm. Like you have a thought about what you think other people think about you.
Like mind reading.
Yes. Yes. Also struggled with that a lot in my 20s as well. What do you have to say about that?
It's kind of the same. I think so what you're describing is a lot of cognitive distortions, right? There's a term for it because we all experience it. So I do want to normalize that because I think, you know, we judge ourselves based off of that. It's hard for us to be present, but we all experience it. There's research on it and there's a term for it, you know? And so I think mind reading is something, it's so common. We have to ask ourselves, though, can I actually read minds? Do I actually know?
I like to think I can sometimes,
Yeah. But it's, I mean, you know, we might have to make a Black Mirror episode about that if that's the case.
So, yeah.
Right. And it's, we have to recognize that those are just our own thoughts about ourselves that are showing up. But mm-hmm. then do we want to place value on that? Is that something that you want to live your life by?
Yeah.
What those thoughts are telling you.
Right. And that also takes you out of the present moment too. Like mm-hmm. if you're just sitting there thinking about what, you know, what XYZ thinks about what I did on Tuesday night, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. So, are there any other tools like for mindfulness other than the grounding technique? Like are there other things that people can do to be more present and be in the moment?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you can do it really through anything. So it's whatever you feel like brings you joy. I like to practice mindfulness through cooking, through cleaning, just everyday activities, I think is really helpful just to start practicing the skill. But then you can kind of translate that into other things, whether it might be deep breathing techniques. It could be some sort of meditation. It can be, I think YouTube has a ton of things. You can also practice mindfulness through just scanning your body, just being kind to yourself. So there is a mindfulness practice that I really enjoy. It's called loving kindness, and it allows you to just practice self-compassion, compassion towards others. And it's grounding, but it also helps you with maybe some of those uncomfortable thoughts and feelings that we might experience. One of the other things about mindfulness that I really enjoy is that it can help a lot with things like chronic pain, even like migraines, any sort of headaches, really any sort of, I'm not going to say any sort of, it can be very helpful for a lot of like medical things or physical sensations that you might experience. So even, you know, keeping that in mind is what helps you be present, right? And if you're not focused on, let's say, knee pain, for example, then, you know, can you focus on something that feels valuable? Does it bring you joy, even for a few seconds or a couple minutes?
Okay. So if someone like has, like you said, like knee pain or something like that, is the purpose to take your attention away from the knee pain, or is it to, okay.
Yeah. Cause that pain will still be there.
Yeah.
But it feels less because we're placing less meaning on it.
Okay.
Mindfulness can be, you know, and I think you and I have talked about this before, it can be really helpful for things like ADHD or ADHD like symptoms, because I think it's, you know, the stigma of like what ADHD is or how folks might experience ADHD or symptoms of ADHD, right? It allows you to focus on what you want to focus on versus somebody just saying, oh, well, you know, just be organized or just focus on that thing. Well, it's no, my brain isn't wired like that. I can't do that. So, yeah. You know, figuring out what works for you, even if it is just a few seconds at a time.
Yeah.
Mindfulness it's a difficult practice. So you have to kind of build up a tolerance for it.
Okay. Yeah. It was going back to, but I think we're kind of like off that topic, but it was going back to, you said everyday things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Using mindfulness, using everyday things to practice, be more present and practice mindfulness. So can it literally be anything? Can it be like You said cleaning, you said cooking. Could it be dancing? Could it be physical fitness? So like strength training.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like in order for me to, you know, in order to get me to exercise, it's something, mindfulness is something I have to practice while I'm doing it because it's not something I thoroughly enjoy. So, you know, it's something that I think is extremely helpful, especially when you don't feel motivated or you feel like it's not something you value. Try being present, try being non-judgmental, you know, see what it's like.
Yeah. So can you give us an example of that? Like say you're doing like a TRX workout, because I know you like TRX.
I do.
What would that look like? Like say you didn't want to do it that day and you're like, F this. I don't want to do that. What does a mindfulness practice look like in that moment?
So in that, it's maybe a lot, maybe it's some of my self-talk. It's what I'm saying to myself, right? So I'm noticing, you know, I'm noticing what the bands look like. I maybe point out the colors. I notice how it feels when I'm holding the bands. I might say, okay, I'm going to extend my arm. I'm, you know, maybe if I'm doing a lunge, for example, I might take notice of, or just say that I'm moving my leg. I'm lifting my, you know, I'm lifting my foot off the ground. I'm noticing what it feels like when I'm placing my toes, you know, behind me. So it's really just step by step being intentional and noticing what's happening without saying things like, ow, I don't like this. Why am I doing this?
F this.
I need to call Brie and let her know that she's wrong. But as I'm doing that, you also realize that time seems to move faster. So, you know, by the time I get to the point where I want to call you and say, F this, I don't want to do this, I'm basically done with the workout.
You're done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you heard it here, folks. Mindfulness will get you through your workout. And I feel like you put it in much better words than I have in the past, but I'm always, you know, recommending or encouraging people to be intentional about their movement when they're going through a workout, right? So like what muscles should be working, like the angles, like the way in which you're moving through that movement, right? And then like what your body's doing, like being aware of yourself in space and time and like how you're handling weights, even if it's just like to set up for an exercise, like all of that, I feel like that requires you to be present, you know, in that situation. So it is like mindfulness, but I feel like you put it into a much prettier bow than the way I describe it. But yeah.
So. Yeah. And I would even say, you know, pick the music that speaks to you. And I think that's something that you definitely taught me is be intentional about the music you choose because it helps you focus. And that's not just with fitness, right? I think it's with any part of your life, anything you want to incorporate, anything that keeps you present and grounded. Because you feel that in your body too. It's not just in your mind.
Yes. Yeah. That gym playlist is key. Let me tell you. Because especially on days when you're like, I do not want to be here, right? Like, having the right playlist, like that's just one sense. That's just, one thing that you can do to bring yourself, into that moment of working out. I'm sorry that I led this conversation to working out, but it's just, it's just what I do.
It's okay.
But I think it can apply to anything really in life, especially things you don't want to do. Being mindful and being present.
Yeah. And remember, our brains are in our bodies, right? So there, it's all connected. I think a lot of times, anytime we experience stress, anxiety, depression, trauma, even, you know, we think it's all in our brains and it is in our brains, but it trickles down throughout our bodies. So I think mindfulness is really key for that because it targets not just your mind, but also your body.
Yeah. Yeah. And it helps with some of those sensations or feelings that you're getting within your body as well. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other tools like with mindfulness in like any situation that someone can use?
You know, honestly, it's really using what you have on you, on your person, no matter where you are. I think, you know, it's, you can get really creative with it. So being mindful or intentional about like the clothes that you wear. So as you know, I love wearing cardigans and I'm very intentional about my cardigans. So, you know, it helps with my anxiety because of the textures. So if it's a texture I don't like, more likely than not, I'm not going to wear it, even if it's cute.
Right.
Other things is having some sort of fidget or being intentional about your jewelry that you wear. If it's something that can provide any sort of pressure, then use that because that's something that can help you. You know, if you, let's say you're wearing a necklace, you can just squeeze the necklace, then does that help you feel grounded, right? Can you just focus on that itself, that item?
Yeah. Okay, great. Anything else? Did you want to add anything else to this mindfulness conversation?
One thing I would add is, I think we kind of talked about it, is if you're, you know, if there's something like medical, for example, that you are experiencing, you're noticing, try mindfulness, see if it'll help you. You know, it can be very helpful for things like GI issues, PCOS, even. It can help bring down your stress levels, your cortisol levels. And so then you'll notice a change physically. You'll notice a change in terms of maybe some of those symptoms that might be reoccurring that you can't really figure out, well, what can I take for this? Or how do I deal with this? See if it's something that can help you. But again, it takes practice.
Right. Exactly. Back to like the psychological and mental aspect of things. When would you recommend, like, I know mindfulness is a tool that we can use, but sometimes like the situations we're in are go beyond, or we feel like they're out of control or we don't have control. And mindfulness may not be, you know, the end all be all solution. What would you recommend, or is there like a certain point that you would recommend to somebody that they seek outside counseling or therapy? I don't know how to,
So what I always recommend is don't wait until it's too late to start therapy. I think that's one of the key things, right? I mean, even I can compare it to fitness, right? Why wait until you're kind of at rock bottom to start your fitness journey? You can start at any point.
Okay.
All right. With something like mindfulness, it's a tool that I encourage everyone to try to incorporate into their lives. But when you feel like, okay, I can't do this alone, I want extra support, right? Even if it's just maybe in terms of a goal that you're working on, right? Whether it is something that, you know, you feel like, okay, I need a little bit of clarity around my values. I need somebody to help me through this process. Maybe that's when you join therapy. Maybe it's just for self-growth. You know, it's just because you feel like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be waiting until you get to that point where you feel like you can't handle it.
Yeah. And I feel like it's the same. It's exactly the same in fitness. And I feel like a lot of people wait until it's too late, until there's some type of, it's like a high risk situation where they, if they don't figure it out, they're going to have some serious issues.
Right.
It's the same for mental health as well. Do not wait until, you know, it gets to that point.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing. A lot of therapists have wait lists, unfortunately, right? Get on a wait list and then decide if you want to go. We're not going to feel bad about it, right? If you decide that, hey, I'm not ready yet, that's okay. You do have to be ready in order to start therapy. If you're not ready, you're not going to get much out of it.
Yeah.
But get on that wait list and then see how you feel when you're up.
Yeah. I like that advice. All right. Any final words for this conversation or anything in general?
I mean, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for letting me talk about my passion and sharing, you know, something that's so important to me, which is mindfulness. Because I know that, you know, it's, you and I talk about it, but I like to have the opportunity to share it with the world and bring together our passions, which we're always finding ways to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for finally coming on the podcast. I know that's my fault because I've had this podcast since 2020. And I know we did do another episode with Nikki about friendships like a while ago.
Yeah.
But thank you for sharing your expertise with us and some tools that we can use going forward in order to be more present and more intentional about our lives, right? And where can people, like she said in the beginning, she opened up a private practice. So it is all virtual right now, but where can people go to learn more about you and your practice?
Yeah. So my website is alignmindtherapy.com. You can also find me on Psychology Today. So feel free to look me up, reach out if you have any questions about therapy, anything in general. You know, you don't have to sign up for therapy. You can reach out with questions. That's totally fine.
Yes. And she's located in PA, people, just so you know, because I think with therapy, right, it's state by state.
Yeah, state by state. So right now, just PA, but I can definitely provide referrals if needed, if you are in another state.
Yeah. So if you do have questions, definitely reach out to Nipa. She is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to mental health. And I just want to say thank you again for coming on the show. And I love you. And thanks for being my friend for all these millions of years.
Thank you. I love you. And you can't get rid of me.
Definitely not.